Penguin Random House Audio presents Parker, Selected Stories by Dorothy Parker. Read for you by Elaine Stritch. Big Blonde.
Hazel Morris was a large, fair woman of the type that incites some men when they use the word blonde to click their tongues and wag their heads roguishly. She prided herself upon her small feet and suffered for her vanity, boxing them in snub-toed, high-heeled slippers of the shortest bearable size. The curious things about her were her hands, strange terminations to the flabby white arms splattered with pale tan spots. Long, quivering hands with deep and convex nails. She should not have disfigured them with little jewels. She was not a woman given to recollections. At her middle 30s, her old days were a blurred and flickering sequence, an imperfect film dealing with the actions of strangers. In her 20s, after the deferred death of a hazy widowed mother, she had been employed as a model in a wholesale dress establishment. It was still the day of the big woman, and she was then prettily colored and erect and high-breasted. Her job was not onerous, and she met numbers of men and spent numbers of evenings with them, laughing at their jokes and telling them she loved their neckties. Men liked her, and she took it for granted that the liking of many men was a desirable thing. Popularity seemed to her to be worth all the work that had to be put into its achievement. Men liked you because you were fun, and when they liked you, they took you out, and there you were. So, and successfully, she was fun. She was a good sport. Men liked a good sport. No other form of diversion, simpler or more complicated, drew her attention. She never pondered if she might not be better occupied doing something else. Her ideas, or better, her acceptances, ran right along with those of the other substantially built blondes in whom she found her friends. When she had been working in the dress establishment some years, she met Herbie Morse. He was thin, quick, attractive, with shifting lines about his shiny brown eyes, and a habit of fiercely biting at the skin around his fingernails. He drank largely. She found that entertaining. Her habitual greeting to him was an allusion to his state of the previous night. "Oh, what a peach you had," she used to say through her easy laugh. "I thought I'd die the way you kept asking the waiter to dance with you." She liked him immediately upon their meeting. She was enormously amused at his fast, slurred sentences, his interpolations of apt phrases from vaudeville acts and comic strips. She thrilled at the feel of his lean arm tucked firm beneath the sleeve of her coat. She wanted to touch the wet, flat surface of his hair. He was as promptly drawn to her. They were married 6 weeks after they had met. She was delighted at the idea of being a bride, coquetted with it, played upon it. Other offers of marriage she had had, and not a few of them, but it happened that they were all from stout, serious men who had visited the dress establishment as buyers. Men from Des Moines and Houston and Chicago and, in her phrase, even funnier places. There was always something immensely comic to her in the thought of living elsewhere than New York. She could not regard as serious proposals that she share a Western residence. She wanted to be married. She was nearing 30 now, and she did not take the years well. She spread and softened, and her darkening hair turned her to inexpert dabblings with peroxide. There were times when she had little flashes of fear about her job, and she had had a couple of thousand evenings of being a good sport among her male acquaintances. She had come to be more conscientious than spontaneous about it. Herbie earned enough, and they took a little apartment far uptown. There was a mission-furnished dining room with a hanging central light globed in liver-colored glass. In the living room were an overstuffed suite, a Boston fern, and a reproduction of the Henner Magdalen, with the red hair and the blue draperies. The bedroom was in gray enamel and old rose, with Herbie's photograph on Hazel's dressing table and Hazel's likeness on Herbie's chest of drawers. She cooked, and she was a good cook, and marketed and chatted with the delivery boys and the colored laundress. She loved the flat, She loved her life. She loved Herbie. In the first months of their marriage, she gave him all the passion she was ever to know. She had not realized how tired she was. It was a delight, a new game, a holiday, to give up being a good sport. If her head ached or her arches throbbed, she complained piteously, babyishly. If her mood was quiet, she did not talk. If tears came to her eyes, she let them fall. She fell readily into the habit of tears during the first year of her marriage. Even in her good sport days, she had been known to weep lavishly and disinterestedly on occasion. Her behavior at the theater was a standing joke. She could weep at anything in a play. Tiny garments, love, both unrequited and mutual, seduction, purity, faithful servitors, wedlock, the triangle. There goes Hayes, her friends would say, watching her. She's off again. Wedded and relaxed, she poured her tears freely. To her who had laughed so much, crying was delicious. All sorrows became her sorrows. She was tenderness. She would cry long and softly over newspaper accounts of kidnapped babies, deserted wives, unemployed men, strayed cats, heroic dogs. Even when the paper was no longer before her, her mind revolved upon these things, and the drops slipped rhythmically over her plump cheeks. Honestly, she would say to Herbie, all the sadness there is in the world when you stop to think about it. Yeah, Herbie would say. She missed nobody. The old crowd, the people who had brought her and Herbie together, dropped from their lives, lingeringly at first. When she thought of this at all, it was only to consider it fitting. This was marriage. This was peace. But the thing was that Herbie was not amused. For a time, he had enjoyed being alone with her. He found the voluntary isolation novel and sweet. And then it paled with a ferocious suddenness. It was as if one night, sitting with her in the steam-heated living room, he would ask no more. And the next night, he was through and done with the whole thing. He became annoyed by her misty melancholies. At first, when he came home to find her softly tired and moody, he kissed her neck and patted her shoulder and begged her to tell her Herbie what was wrong. She loved that. But time slid by, and he found that there was never anything really personally the matter. Ah, for God's sake, he would say, crabbing again. All right, sit here and crab your head off. I'm going out. And he would slam out of the flat and come back late and drunk. She was completely bewildered by what happened to their marriage. First they were lovers, and then, it seemed without transition, they were enemies. She never understood it. There were longer and longer intervals between his leaving his office and his arrival at the apartment. She went through agonies of picturing him run over and bleeding, dead and covered with a sheet. Then she lost her fears for his safety and grew sullen and wounded. When a person wanted to be with a person, he came as soon as possible. She desperately wanted him to want to be with her. Her own hours only marked the time till he would come. It was often nearly 9 o'clock before he came home to dinner. Always he had had many drinks, and their effect would die in him, leaving him loud and querulous and bristling for affronts. He was too nervous, he said, to sit and do nothing for an evening. He boasted, probably not in all truth, that he had never read a book in his life. "What am I expected to do, sit around this dump on my tail all night?" he would ask rhetorically. And again he would slam out. She did not know what to do. She could not manage him. She could not meet him. She fought him furiously. A terrific domesticity had come upon her, and she would bite and scratch to guard it. She wanted what she called a nice home. She wanted a sober, tender husband, prompt at dinner, punctual at work. She wanted sweet, comforting evenings. The idea of intimacy.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?